used to say, three loving spirits never disagree, world without end, amen. And I said, well, this is like three buddies, you know, three good friends that are so close that they never disagree. But it didn't satisfy the Christ inside of me, so I was still asking the question. And God said to me, look at yourself. He said, you are spirit, soul, and body. Are you three persons? Hallelujah. Then I begin to ask God, what's the difference between my spirit and my soul? Because somebody said I have a soul, and somebody said I have a spirit. I know I have a body. Hallelujah. But what's the difference? And then God began to make me understand the difference in spirit matter. That the spirit is a higher frequency. Use an electrical term now. A higher frequency. And the soul is a lower frequency spirit. So somebody was deceived by belief when the scriptures use the word pneuma for soul. Speaking of the soul, he said pneuma. But the soul is a spirit. The soul is not flesh. The soul definitely is a spirit. So, but the spirit is a pure essence, stronger, more energy. And then the Holy Spirit is more energy still. And then the Christ is more energy still. And then the Father is all the energy. So the Father feeds the Christ. The Christ feeds the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit feed my spirit. My spirit feed my soul. My soul feed my body. And one day, spirit, soul, and body will manifest Christ in the earth. So we will feed the earth. And if we can understand this chain of command and power, then we will begin to understand a little more why some people can feed on a low energy. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Have you ever been to a service or heard a message and somebody said, oh, I was so blessed. And you're glad that you kept your mouth shut because you were just going to say, that was nothing. And then you have to respect the brother and the sister who said they were so blessed. But it's where they are in the spirit. It's a low bite. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, some animals feed graze, low bite. We call it low bite when they feed on the ground, the low grass. Hallelujah. So we understand then that God works in this dimension. And if you went to the third heaven, you would find Jesus there. But if you were able to stand the light of the second heaven, you'd find Jesus there also in a greater light. And if you were able to go up into the throne room where God alone dwells, you'd find Jesus there in all the glory of light. And so we have Jesus here. And the man who is preaching against us down the street, he has Jesus down there too. Praise be to God. Amen. So it's a different realm, a different energy. And we, the sons of God, are ordained of God to go into the very highest realm. This is our ordained position, you know, that God says that the whole creation groans and travails in pain, waiting for us to come forth. And then I had a word of the Lord that we are keeping back Jesus. Now, do you think that's possible, brother? The scripture says, so let me read it to you before I get into the message. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Peter. And you see here, 2 Peter 3, and in this verse, 12? He said, Translation's a little bad here in the King James. If you had an amplified, let me hear that amplified. Verse 12.
While you wait and earnestly long for expecting and hastening the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the flaming heaven will be dissolved and the material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire.
Good. It says, while you hasten, we can hasten the coming of Jesus. How can we hasten the coming of Jesus? By preparing ourselves, getting ready. Because you see, Jesus is coming in us.
Amen.
Jesus is coming in us.
Yes.
And we can hasten his coming by being ready for him. You know, you expect Jesus to come. And the ladies would jump around and polish up everything. And get this place all nice and do your best to make the place look good. Somebody would put a bunch of flowers or something like that, because we expect Jesus to come in here. And so it is that the people of God who are saying that they are expecting Jesus, they are not really expecting him. For if they were expecting him, they would prepare their hearts for him. Now, I cannot have aught against my brother and prepare for Jesus at the same time. Because you see, the mercy seat is in me. The mercy seat is that meeting place where my soul meets my spirit. Did you know that? Because God is in my spirit. And I am perfect in spirit. One little part of me is perfect. That my spirit. Completely perfect, because God lives there. Completely. Now, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is ministering to the soul from the Spirit to make the soul become like the Spirit.
Amen.
That's why we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? In earth, soul, earth, man, as it is in heaven, which is the Spirit. So, it is a prayer that Jesus said you must pray every day. Ask the Spirit of God to break through your consciousness. We hear the scripture said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And then another scripture tells us, I stand at the door and knock. What? If what? If. If any man or woman open the door, I will come in. But you have to open the door.
Amen.
You have the power to lock the door. And you have the power to open the door.
Amen.
And so it is that we do open and close. If somebody is saying something that you don't want to hear, you shut down on him. Close up. Hallelujah. So praise be to God. Let's look at Revelation here. And let's take one dimension of the word tonight. Because remember, the word is on three dimensions. We have the natural. Every word that God speaks in the natural, it has a spiritual meaning. And I give you a blessed one. Paul was speaking about the law says you must not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And then he turned around and asked, does God care for oxen? In other words, would God write a Bible for you to take care of oxen? You understand? It sounds so funny for God to go through all the trouble to write a Bible, to make laws for the Jews, just for you, to the end result for you is to take care of cows. Hallelujah. God, you see, so the word has a natural. And the natural is that you are in the field, don't muzzle your oxen and don't let him eat some of the corn that he is treading out. Give him a little taste.
Amen.
And it had a spiritual meaning that you must muzzle the ministry. But then, was that the fullness? It's just because God wanted you to give freely to the ministry, why he put that in the Bible? You see, if it has a natural and it has a spiritual, it must have a fullness.
Amen.
And the fullness of it comes in the liberal giving of yourself entirely to God. See, so every word in the Bible has these three meanings. So let us turn to Revelation. And let us look at these words that I heard here tonight from chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. And we begin at the fourth verse, going down to the seventh. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Those are the words I heard, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Praise be to God. The seven thunders, I cannot help but believe that there was a time for the opening of the seal of what the seven thunders uttered. I cannot but believe that God said to John, don't write it down, because I will have to give it to my people in the spirit. And that some of the things that are being revealed to us today are some of the things which the seven thunders did utter. You see, because we are closing up, the time of the end. In other words, let me give you a natural understanding of what we mean. There were 7 days in which God created the world, made man, and rested the seventh day. So there are 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. Each day corresponds to 1,000 years, as we read in the 2 Peter 3 here, that a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years as a day. So that if you check 1,000 years and what was created the day, it works perfectly right along. I give you some examples. In the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, the stars. Is that right? Jesus Christ came at the end of the 4,000 years. That's the end of the law. The 5,000 years. Jesus spent 3.5 years ministering. Amen. And the sun, the moon, the stars was birthed. The sun, the children of God. On the sixth day, God created, in the morning he created the beast. He made the beast of the field. In the evening he created man. And the man was made to control the beast and the whole creation. Amen. Now, if we are in the evening, what's going to be created? We have seen the beast already. Because the beast nature, you see, the man's beast nature has gone, is coming to its fullness. We are having full beast men now. Amen. Men who have ears and eyes and mouths and look like us, but inside they are not humans at all. I never forget seeing a man shoot a diplomat in Cairo, and when the man fell and the blood squirted out from him, the man ran down on him and put his mouth over the blood like a faucet and drank it, and he was so elated. have drunk his blood, and the blood running down like a beast would eat an animal, and so on. A horrible sight. I don't mean to shock you good people, but this is what happened. And it is believed among those some circles that killing human beings is a good thing. You get power. Like the people in Beirut, like the Ayatollah. They are not human. Oh, they're not human. The Ayatollah killed his best friends. His best friends who put him in power. Gupzadeh put him in power. And he turned, because he didn't agree with him, he turned around and put him up for trial and shot him. You see. So, I am trying to show you that what has happened now, for instance, the godlessness that came forth in Russia. It started with the church. It was the church that first took the Bibles away. It was not Russia. If somebody should ask you, who took the Bibles away first from the people of the world, you might be tempted to say Russia. No, no, no. Long before Russia, the church took away the Bibles. And they are again saying that we don't need the Bibles. The Bibles are making people crazy and all that sort of thing. That's what they are saying. Now, we see therefore a development in the human realm. Or could I call it a development or a backward? In other words, men are becoming beasts. They are having the minds of devils. They are being motivated by emotions that are not human. And God said it. He said they would lack natural affection. See, the natural affection that human beings are supposed to have. Women supposed to have affection for their children. Fathers pity their little ones. You know, the natural affection, the family, they don't have it.
Right.
Amen. They're becoming something else beside humans. And as this development goes, it is appalling to see what men are doing right now to other human beings. And they are developing bombs. And they are developing methods of taking out parts of people's brains. Right now I understand that they are doing this to the Russian soldiers. They felt that a certain part of the brain causes fear. And so they are taking out parts of their brain so that they will shoot and fight without fear. You see. And men are running in that kamikaze style. Running in with bombs and blowing up themselves and killing other people. Going to hell with a great flare. They're not humans.
Amen.
You see, these are not deeds of human beings. And so, as the age comes to its end, we are coming to the fullness of all things.
Amen.
And this is a rejoicing. Don't be sad about it. Hallelujah. Because when the devils come to their fullness, we come to our fullness. Because you see, the devil, the beast was made first. And then the man was made to control the beast. And believe you me, the day we are born. Are you born again yet? We are being born again. We haven't come to the point. Well, when the day we are born, the first man come forth, he's going to lay a hold on the beast and put him under control. This is the destiny of the body of Christ. See, so as we look at this thing here, the things that the thunders uttered are things that the Spirit of God is saying to us at this moment, that we are to submit ourselves, open up to the Holy Ghost. Oh, please, for God's sake, don't work too hard. Brother, have a little time. You lock up yourself and just open up to God and begin to think of the glories of God. Cut out every negative thought, every thought of work, every thought of everything, and just begin to think about the glory of God. and the beauty of Jesus Christ and the wonderful climate of the millennium. Hallelujah. And the glory that is just down the road from us. Amen. Just down the road. Brethren, I guarantee you. Well, I don't know how much I could guarantee, brother, but I believe it. But 5 years' time, we are going to see the glory of God in the earth. I don't believe we have that much time. And so, because of this, I say, brethren, that we need to be, he said, what manner of men ought ye to be? If you believe that the fashion of this world is passing away, and it will pass away in 5 years' time, what manner of men ought you to be now?
Amen.
He says, in holy conversation and godliness. Don't you understand, there is, as this morning I said, there is an alarm going off in Zion, a trumpet going off amongst us in our hearts. We feel like men who are heading home. We feel like we see the last home stretch. Hallelujah. And the winning post ahead of us. Hallelujah. And you must open up all the stops. Pull out all the stops and let loose for God, because now is the time of preparation. Hallelujah. And so we look here again, the angel cried out and he said, time shall be no longer. There's no more time. We're finished now. Amen. Now I go back to that thought, so that in the sixth day, it's 6,000 years. Now, hallelujah, the devil got his finger into it. You know, I don't see any calendar on the wall. But every time you look at the calendar, you remember the devil's work. The devil made the calendar. And the chief reason he made it is to deceive you. Oh yes, what did your calendar say? Huh? It said what? Tonight is what? The 29th of is the 30th today? Oh, today is the day when they worship the devil. Oh, Halloween. Today, all right. He said it's the 30th of October. And what year did he say it is? 1983. You believe that, Brandon? If you believe that, you believe a lie. Of course, they apologize for the lie. Any Bible students, the Catholics say, after they made the calendar, they say it's wrong. Because when you trace backward, the year when they had year number one, already Herod was dead, who tried Jesus. He was already dead. So they never did get that act together. And the Bible schools begin to quarrel. Some say it's 5 years. I've never heard anyone say it's less than five. They say it's 5 years wrong. That means they are saying it's 1988 now. Some say it's 12 years. Amen? So if it's 12 years, it's been 1995. But what do you say? Huh? That's all you can say. It's later than you think. Because God so fixed it that nobody can correct that calendar. We don't know what time it is. All we know is that from what we get from the Spirit of God, and he's saying it's late, and it's much later than what you think it is. And because it is later, we see something here. In the end, before the battle of Armageddon, before the Christ let loose his sons to clean up the world, you must have a 3.5 years of the reign of the beast. And while the beast is reigning, the man child is growing. and feeding the flock of God. You all understand what the man child is. The same woman is going to change into the man child. Now, did you know that? You see, the woman is the body of Christ, and the man child is the Christ being the head of a body. So it's a metamorphosis. The Bible the Greek says metamorpho, and the process which we are undergoing is a change. Amen. And you can feel the change, brethren. Oh yes, you can feel the change. That the way we think tonight, we didn't think that way before.
Amen.
There is a heavenly change coming over us. We're changing from old caterpillar to butterfly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're changing from human to divine.
Amen.
Oh yes. Sometimes a brother wants to hit you hard, and he says, I am human, you know. I'm human. Tell him, you have no right to be.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. We shouldn't be acting like humans. Because God says that he is changing us. Little by little. Moment by moment. Day by day. Your metamorphosis is continuing until at last you must come forth divine. The end product is a divine man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God started out with a perfect man. But the man was not complete. I shouldn't say a perfect man. I meant a sinless man. But he was not finished made. Hallelujah. And God said that if this man would eat the tree of life, then he would come to a completion. I can tell you from the Bible, from the Word of God. Let me just run it down for you so that you don't say I give you thoughts without scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, the Lord said, let us make man in our own what?
Image
and what? And likeness. So there were two things that the man was going to be. He was going to look like God, and he was going to be like God. That's the likeness. Image is something that looks like. Likeness is something that is like. Amen? So the completed man must look like God, and he must be like God.
Yes.
Praise God. Now, we run down to verse 27. Verse 27 said, and God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. What about the likeness? God could not make us in his likeness. We have to grow into his likeness. Because it is a free will choice that will make man to be like God.
Amen.
Do you remember that? We must willingly, deliberately, absolutely want it. And we must go after it. And then we gain the prize. And when we become like God, God knows we'll never change. Glory to God. So, in Ezekiel chapter 28, it's best for me not to read these things. If we turn to them, it takes so much time. I just quote them for you. You take a note of them and you question me afterwards if you want to read them. In Ezekiel chapter 28, we saw there where God said, thou wert in the garden of God, and every stone, every precious stone was thy covering. In other words, the covering that this being had was the light of God, and he named nine stones. Watch it now. Gold was the basic nature, and 9 precious stones were named. But when man was completed down in Revelation, in the 21st chapter there, God began to name, and he used the same words, and he said all the stones, and he named 12. How come all was 9 in Ezekiel and all is 12 in Revelation? I'll tell you what. You check the 3 stones that were not there, and you see that there are 3 natures that God could not give man. Man had to take it. Oh yes, the amethystus, which was the bloodstone. Hallelujah. Man, God couldn't give you that. You had to receive it, take it from Jesus. And things like that. Now, because that, we see then that 12 is the number of completion. Complete. So when you come to your 12, you come to completion. But if Brother Westlake tonight received, go to his bed and receive the fullness of God and come forth, he would still be incomplete if you didn't come forth, because you would have nobody. He would be just alone. Hallelujah. You see what I mean? So we need 12 in the individual, and we need 12 in the body, and 12 by 12 is 144. And that's why God said the walls of the city was 144 cubits. And then in chapter 3 of Genesis, we see somewhere verse 14, God speaking to Satan, and he said, the seed of the woman will bruise your head. The seed of the woman will bruise your head. Amen. And he was talking about Christ. But the word he used is the word we use for zero. The word zero is the Hebrew for seed. So he called Jesus Christ my zero. And that's the first place in the scriptures that Christ was called zero, or Zora. And zero 3 times is the fullness, good, better, best, the fullness of zero. So when you talk about 144,000, you're talking about a symbolic figure. Every number in the Bible is a symbolic number. There are no numbers that don't have a symbol to it. And so we come back then to this time factor. He said, time shall be no longer. Now we see then that it is in our time, because if this is 1983, we would have 17 years left before the end, and taking out the 3.5 years which haven't started yet, so we couldn't take it out until it starts. You see what I mean? We would have somewhere a few years, and adding on the mistakes that have been made in the calendar, we would find very little time left between now and the start of the music. Are you with me? You see what I'm trying to say? I'm saying that if, all right, let me give you some hypothetical figures. We have 17 years. And out of 17, you take 3.5, leave 13 and a half years. If the calendar is 12 years wrong, then we only have 1.5 years before the music starts. Hallelujah. If the calendar is 5 years wrong, as they believe, then we would have 4.5 years. And 5 from 13 to 7 years. See what I'm saying? So the whole story stands at a point that we have very little time before time shall be no longer. See what I'm saying? And the way things are in the world today, looking at it in the natural, this cannot continue much longer. This kind of a problem between the nations cannot continue much longer. And the Bible says that the whole thing will come about by the sword. Let me read it in that chapter for you. Turn around to chapter 12. Chapter 13. Yes, the same revelation, chapter 13. It says here in verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That's the that's where the quotation isn't complete. Daniel says to overcome them until the Ancients of Days came. Daniel 7 verses 21 and 22 says until. So the quotation was not incomplete. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations that dwell upon the earth to worship him, whose names were not written in the book of life of Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Sorry, that's not the place where, yes, verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So God is saying to us that our power is not carnal. Our power is not carnal. We must not turn to carnal means to defend ourselves or to accomplish anything. That the voting for a president, you are free to vote. But don't believe that because you vote for such a man, to put such a man in the House or in the Senate or in the presidency, you are going to change the plan of God. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? Some of the brothers are saying, get out there and be counted. Identify yourself. Christians, go into politics. It's a wrong motivation. Christians should keep to their power. I've learned that long ago in any fight, never change your style in the middle of a fight. Never change your style in the middle of a fight. You keep to your style and your plan. If you're going to be beaten, let you be beaten on your style and your plan. But don't change in the middle of a fight. You're at a disadvantage. God is saying to the Christians, stick to your guns. Our power is greater than the power out there. Amen. He that is within us is greater than he that is within the world. We cannot lose if we fight with our weapons. You know what we should do? If we become conscious, which we should, of what's happening around us, we should gather here one evening for nothing else but to pray. We should get together and don't talk and don't give any message. We just get together and begin to pray. Pray for God's people. I remember when God was showing me a picture of the destruction in the United States, and he lifted me up above the people looking down and this horror, you know, hallelujah. And God lifted up some of them out of the ruins. Believe me, brethren, this church is going to be born in fire. Oh, you believe me? I'll show you a scripture for that. The church is going to be born in fire. And these people were being lifted out of the ruins. And as they came up, we all lifted our hands and cried out, God, save your people. God, save your people. And the enemy began to recede. The thing that was destroying, a thing, I don't know what it was, like a light. It was just hovering and everything was being torn to pieces. And it began to recede because the Christians called out, God, save your people. And I believe nothing is going to save us and our people outside of the prayer of the saints. We need to begin to make supplications. If we believe that we are at the end of time. See, if we believe that we just have a couple years left. One brother says it's going to be 1984. He feels sure that God told him that the Russians are coming in here 1984 into the United States. And I know many men who have seen these kind of visions. Countless people have seen these visions. Are we going to be as unbelievers? Can't we go and pray to our God and say, Lord God, you better tell me. Amen. Since you told Brother Dussel, tell me, Lord God. I challenge you, brethren. I challenge you. Go to God and say, God, you promise that if I ask you about your sons, anything concerning your sons, you will let me know. Lord God, let me know if what this man says is true and how near are we to this time of destruction. Hallelujah. See, because it is in the midst of the destruction that the church is going to come forth. Outside of a real persecution, we have no church. Lift up your eyes. Look at the people. Look at God's people. Look at what they're doing. Don't you see that the diligence is way down? Our diligence towards God and His work is far below par. Turn your Bibles with me to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and there I want to show you something. I told you I was going to show you in the Word of God what will happen when Jesus comes forth in you. Now, read from verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Did you hear that? When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So the time when Jesus is coming in his saints is the time when there will be trouble and destruction on the earth. See, praise God. And God shows it very, very clearly that this trouble and destruction is coming by the sword, by man. Oh yes. The scriptures have a way of saying God this did this, and it says God did that, but when you look at the actual thing, it was Nebuchadnezzar that attacked Jerusalem. God, it said God did it. You see what I'm saying? And so it is God that allowed these things to happen. So the scripture said God did it. And I want you to understand what we are facing tonight. No nation, no generation of people has ever faced this kind of thing, except three times in the history of the world there were people like we are. When the flood, when Noah preached, there was the same situation that is here tonight. When Jesus Christ came and preached again the next 2,000 years, three times it must happen, and the third time is the fullness. Amen. You see, the first time was the natural Noah. The second time was the spiritual Jesus. The third time is the fullness of all things. Let me show you another scripture which flashes before me. Turn to Timothy. Praise God. It is Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this here. In verse 10, he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That means the brothers who are in Christ, Peter, Paul, James, John, all of those thousands and hundreds of thousands of brothers who are in Christ in the heavenlies, they are going to be in one company with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In one company with us. Let me dare to say that they attend our meetings sometimes. Let me dare to say that sometimes the motivation that we have comes from the heavenlies, comes through the saints of God that are in our midst. The Bible says that they watch us like people who are on a racetrack, and they encourage their men to run. Hallelujah. And when we fight, we don't fight for the church triumphant alone, church militant, as we call it, the people who are alive. We are fighting for people who are alive but lost their bodies with Christ. You say, how can that be, brother says? Now we're getting crazy. Now, if you agree with me, you're as crazy as I am. Blessed be the God, amen. Hallelujah. Here is a brother. I'm going to take a simple thing that I see in the spirit. Here is a brother, he's a smoker. He tried his best to stop many times, not knowing that it was a demon that was holding him in cigarettes. And this is an unclean habit, so therefore it is an unclean devil that holds him. And he smokes and he smokes and he smokes and he dies. And he goes to heaven because he loved the Lord and God take him in. But he never overcame that in his soul. Remember, death doesn't change your soul. Somebody thought death made you perfect. You are only perfect in spirit when you die, because the spirit takes charge of your soul. You are a Christian and you love the Lord and you wanted to be good, but evil was present with you. Through the body you was dragged down. And so when you die, your soul has its way. The spirit and the soul come together. This is why the scriptures speak of the perfect in spirit. Remember that? You remember that scripture? I don't have to read it, do I? It says, and we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So when you die as a Christian, your spirit is made perfect, because your spirit and your soul becomes one. But your soul is deficient. Your soul needs to overcome. You're not an overcomer. You never did overcome. God can't hand you overcoming for a free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So therefore, here is the seal who had the same problem, who was oppressed by the same devil, who was a smoker, hide and smoke in the corner. Hallelujah. And God see where he is going to overcome that devil. And he said, okay, you watch him. You want to know how to overcome devils? You watch that man. So they are watching you, brother.
Amen.
And in your daily fight, you are fighting both for the you down here and for them up there. The Bible said, they without us cannot be made perfect.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about time being short, brethren. And some of us say, oh, I'm poor. and I'm just in my little corner, I'm not doing anything. You are going to be shocked to know what you're doing in your little corner. Amen. Some of us have ailments, sickness, problem. You are not the first person to have ailment, sickness, problem. There is somebody that has an ailment, a sickness, a problem, and you are going to overcome it. And God is showing men and angels and devils how men can stand up and overcome.
Amen.
Oh yes. Unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places, He is teaching the manifold wisdom of God by the church.
Amen.
I'm quoting again from Ephesians. The church is teaching not only hell, but teaching heaven how men can overcome. For most of the brothers up there never did overcome.
Amen.
They died without overcoming. And so they are learning overcoming through you. As I said this morning, that there are some spirits that have never been beaten. In my spiritual life, I've had a lot of experience with coming against massive spirits who boldly come in and feel that you could never conquer them. And I've seen them torn to bits and thrown into the abyss. Do you know you have the power to cast them into the abyss? You didn't know that. Well, let me tell you about it, because you must start doing it. And I tell you why. When Jesus Christ went to Gadara and he saw that demoniac spirit, the man there, they call him the legion. He had a legion of devils. When he saw this legion, the devil said to him, he said, "Oh, Lord, don't cast us into the deep. Don't cast us into the deep. For it's too early to cast us into the deep." And do you know that Jesus Christ had mercy on them? You know why? If Jesus was walking here tonight, he would have cast them into the deep. But Jesus did not cast them into the deep because it was really too early. It was too early. It was 2,000 years. And so he set them free. But tonight, brethren, we are in a battle. We're in, our people are being oppressed. And the Bible and the Spirit of God said that Michael the archangel is fighting with us to cast them out. Let's read it. Because some of us don't understand the scripture. There, you take Revelation chapter 12. Somebody read that 7th to 9th verses for me.
"And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any war in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him."
Praise God. Now, we're not talking about, remember, Revelation says that Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ for things to come. You remember that? The first verse in Revelation. So if Revelation is things to come, this is not talking about Satan having been cast out in past ages. When Jesus sent out his 70 disciples, and the disciples went and cast the spirits out of other human beings, Jesus rejoiced greatly in spirit, and he said, "I see Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Heaven, God's dwelling place.
Amen.
God's dwelling place in you is being delivered.
Amen.
We are daily casting devils out of ourselves.
Amen.
Yes, sir. You begin to think those positive thoughts. You begin to think of Jesus Christ as greater than any devil, as greater than any spirit, as greater than any power on earth, as greater than your circumstances, as greater than your problems. And as you begin to think of God in this light, you begin to assert the power of Jesus Christ within. And as the light enters in, the darkness departs.
Amen.
See, and as this process continues, the Bible said Michael and his angels. Now, I am glad I'm not talking to babes in Christ. I don't think you look like it. Hallelujah. Amen. When the Bible says angels, it means any of the classes of angels. There are many classes of angels. There's one class of angel that is Michael. He's the archangel type. The mighty power that rules over many other angels and many things of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then you have the angel which is of a man. Am I getting into deep waters, brother? Hallelujah. You have the angel which is of a man. That is the brother who is gone to heaven and has attained such a position that God can send him back to minister to you as an angel. Hallelujah. Then you have the created being, angel. Hallelujah. Amen. And among the angels you have different classes. Like among men in heaven, you have some men who have their bodies. And you have some who don't. You say amen for that?
Amen.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Now, alright. So there are different classes. Now, the scriptures for that I can give you afterwards if somebody will ask the question. I'm going to have a 10 minutes back and forth talk. And you ask me all the questions that you want pertaining to what I'm saying, because I believe with all my heart what I'm saying. And I believe that God told me that. Right? So you can ask me any question that comes to your heart for your spiritual people. Yeah. Amen. Yes, brother.
What type of being were the seven thunders? What type of angel do you think that is?
The seven thunders were seven messages.
You think it could have been with the message?
I don't know. What I do know is that when God is ready to send a message, He generally sends it by a being. And you see, an angel, the word angelos in the Greek, it means a messenger. You know, the mailman is an angel. That he carries mail. And so the word is referred to human beings as well as to spirit beings.
So I had that was sent to me one time when I was out with Brother Dale Davis in the kitchen that I was in a thunder, and a year later he said, they know the secrets of God.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. That could be a revelation for me. See, because I didn't hear, I never went into that. But you know, the church is the body of Christ, and if one man had everything, then hallelujah, he would be the body. So we have to, there's perfection in our midst. That is, we can operate perfectly, but no one of us is perfect in himself. We can be perfect in the spirit, and therefore when it comes to discernment and to the word, you have a peace, and sometimes the person you think has nothing has the most important peace. Amen. So we cannot do without a body.
Amen.
And this is the reason God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Don't assemble with the wrong people, but assemble with yourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that's for you to decide who yourselves are. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You see, so then Michael, in this fullness of time, in this end time in which we are, we are going to expect a lot of things to happen that are supernatural, because we have the mighty angel, the mighty Michael, helping us to cast the devil out of us. You see, all the little bad ways, all the little bad darknesses that we have in us, it's been exposed. You see, and God, when you see things happen to you that kind of hurt you sometimes or expose you, don't be afraid, don't be frightened over it. It's God that is exposing the you to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody can tell you what's wrong with you but the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that reveals a man and a woman to herself. Amen. And when you see yourself laid before God, reject it. The first thing, Lord God, this morning I wake and I'm going out to do my business. I don't want my mind, I want your mind on the business. Never forget, I was an accountant and I was doing some books for some people to try to get them out of trouble, income tax trouble. And I could get one figure of your business and figure out the whole thing and know whether you're lying to me or not. But then I wasn't working with the income tax department, so I have no right to put down the figure that I know to be the right figure. I'm supposed to put down what I have the evidence from, the papers. And I made a mistake and put down the wrong figure. Amen. And sent it up to the income tax department. And I couldn't sleep that night. When they wrote back to me and corrected the thing and said that the tax is £7,000. You know, a pound was $3 in those days, $21,000. And I know that I was going to kill my client. I didn't know what to do. I went to God. Oh, I didn't know what to do. I went to God. And I cried to God. And God gave me wisdom that night. And in the morning I went to the commissioner of the income tax and said, I made an error in my figures. But these people don't keep books. So my figures are, you know, assessment. I said, I'm going to ask you to assess us. And they assessed us a half of what we would have paid. But it's the wisdom I got from God. So you see, God can give you wisdom in your business that is beyond human wisdom. You see. And I am saying, beloved brethren, when you get up in the morning and you say, Lord God, I don't like my mind. I don't like the way I think. I don't like the way I figure. I don't like the way I operate. I want today your mind. I want your ways. Hallelujah. You see what happened to you that day. And any business you lose that day, you thank God for it. You don't need that business. Hallelujah. Amen. So, yes, once you give up things to God, don't ever go back on it and say, oh my, if I had done so and so wouldn't happen. That's how it is to go. Thank you, Jesus. Because I did ask you, and this is what God has done. So, here's a submission to the Spirit. So, right here then tonight, we are working in the end, if this is the end of time. If time is as short as I see it. If it's going to be no longer soon to come. Then you have got to be a different sort of person than if you were working on a 20 years budget. You follow what I'm saying? He said, what manner of men ought ye to be in holy conversation and operation? We are going to operate differently, and let us begin now. Let us begin to say to God, all right, God, you know the way things are going to be down the road 5 years' time. You fix my business for me. You do it, Lord. Hallelujah. I will go along with whatever you do. And you will see a change in your operation. God will be gearing your operation for the crisis that is to come. Oh, many are going to commit suicide when the stock market busts. You know, and when things just down the hill, people are going to just kill themselves. Like we see some man kill himself over the stock market some time ago, some months ago. They are going to kill themselves because the God in which they trust is the money market, the stock market, the business, and they didn't trust God. But we are the people who trust God. We should begin to assert ourselves now and say, God, dip your finger into my business. Any deal that I must not make, don't let me make it, Lord. Because Michael, the archangel, is dealing with us right now. As I told the story down there, we had a beautiful house, a great house, one of those ancient great houses with the arch stonework and all the beautiful things in Jamaica. And it had a great big tower outside. We were going to put a dining room on the tower looking over the sea, and it's just like paradise. Amen. We got the word. The house totally vandalized. The roof taken off, every piece of lumber taken. The floor taken out, every piece of lumber taken. The toilets taken out. Every piece of lumber, 7 bedrooms, 3 restrooms, everything taken out. The tile chipped off the floor. And I looked at it and said, God, these people did not do this. You did it. Than any goods, anything else on earth, we are the most important things down here, and God's taking care of this. Michael, the archangel, and all the other angels that work with him are with us tonight, and they are whispering in our ears and telling us what to do. Let your heart be tuned to that whisper. You know the reason I am against a pastor in a church? The first reason is because Jesus put his finger in my face and said, never you. And the second reason is because a pastor is the boss of a church, and he disturbs the voice of God in the people of God in the church, because he's telling them what to do. And God created the ministry and the eldership to encourage the people to hear God for themselves. You know, somebody call you, oh brother, please pray for me. Tell them, I'll pray with you. You pray. I'll pray with you. You pray. I never forgot one day I was in Los Angeles in Pasadena church, and Sunday morning, and a young girl came in there, and the Lord said she had a short leg, but I didn't know. I didn't know that her problem was in her spine. She had something wrong in her spine, and one leg was short. She came in, and the Lord said, I'm going to heal her today. I said, are you going to heal her, Jesus? He says, yes. Well, I said, I'm going to use it to encourage that brother over there. I said, come here, brother. I want you to pray for this sister. Hallelujah. The brother is going to get a miracle. It's going to lift him clean out of his, you know, low position, thinking, oh, poor me. And I know she's going to be healed. So I call him to pray. He lays hand on her. I put my hand on her head. And he said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And her backbone went out. And her leg shot right out. I tell you, it lifted him from way down there up into the heavens. Don't you understand, elders, what I'm talking about? It's like a little warmth. If you know that a blessing is here, let them get it. Let them learn. Let them be happy in God. Let them move, because a dead body is no good. If I must preach to a church every day, every Sunday, then that church is not growing. The church must preach to me and bring forth Christ and let me see them function in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, as we walk along in God, we know tonight that very soon, do you know, let me just close with this one thought from the Spirit, that the coming of Jesus is a sudden descent. When we least expect, whether day or night, all of a sudden, click, we're going to be changed. Something happened inside. You understand? He says he's coming as a thief in the night. And sometimes it's when you are in trouble, problems, worries all around, zap, all of a sudden, Jesus comes in. Hallelujah. And I'll read one scripture to carry out that point, and then I close and give you 10 minutes to question me. The scripture is in Malachi. I want you to turn with me to Malachi. And in that chapter 3, and that first verse. Yes, it says here,
verse.
The first verse. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. It's a sudden zap coming. Jesus Christ will descend into his temple, and we will be changed. Not a soul will know. The person sitting beside you won't know. He look at you and he say, oh, that's the same old gal that I know. It ain't. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes.
Revelation.
Yes.
This morning, after verification of your experience, and I heard a loud voice in heaven, which is within us,
yes,
saying, now the deliverance and the power and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, your anointed, have been accomplished for the accuser of the brethren, who accused them both before God, day and night, is cast
out. Yes. You see, it's not a quiet asking him please to leave. It's the boot he's got to be. Kick him out.
Amen.
You see, and this is a total rejection to our mind. It must start in our mind. We must begin to speak, think, reject Satan. I don't want anything of you. I don't want anything of you. No matter what it is, I am rejecting you. I'm rejecting you from my being, from my thinking, from my emotions. And sometimes when your emotions flare up, you get mad. Praise God for it. Amen. Because you are seeing what is in you. Hallelujah. Because once it manifests, you rebuke it. Do you know that a spirit is at his weakest when he's manifesting? Did you know that? If you want to shot the devil, give him a shot that knock him out. You shot him while he's manifesting. Yeah. Because to manifest, he has to bring himself down into a lower realm to be able to manifest through a human being. Amen. I can't teach you all of that tonight. You might... You might not be able to take it, but this is the situation with devils. Devils that like to occupy human beings that are called demons. It's a lower order of spirits, and they love to live inside of a human being and to do their thing, because they don't have anybody to do their thing, and so they want to do their thing, A devil wants a drink of liquor. He comes into a body and he encourages you to drink, and you become an alcoholic. One wants a cigarette, an unclean habit. He wants to smoke. He can't smoke. But if he comes into you and you smoke, he feels good. It's terrible. You know, some people don't know what hell is, you know, brother. That's hell. Hell, when a disembodied spirit is walking up and down, seeking a body in which to express himself, can't express himself, doing his thing and can't get any satisfaction. What a horror. You're drinking water and you can't be satisfied. Going through the motions. And therefore he wants a body. And so he comes and tempts you to do something in order to get your body. That's hell. Oh yeah. Dr. Ritchie wrote a book called Return from Tomorrow. Anybody here read that book? Yes. And it's authentic, because the man is not a theologian. He knows nothing about the Bible. When he wrote that book, he did not understand what he was writing. All he knew is that he died and he went to hell and he saw all these things, and God brought him back and he wrote it in a book. And he is a bona fide doctor. He was at that time, he was in Philadelphia, somewhere there. The hospital, yeah. So praise be to God. I want you to question me now. Just anything that is in your mind, anything that I say or something that I didn't say. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Don't be ashamed to ask me. I'm not ashamed to say I don't know.
Jesus said that Satan is greater things than these that he do by God and the Father. So
yes.
We're co-heirs with him, which means that he doesn't want us bowing to him, but he wants us equal with him.
Amen. Well, he wants us to worship him, though. To worship Jesus. He's our head.
Don't you think he wants us to worship the Father?
To worship
the Father.
Yes, he wants us to worship the Father, but there's no way to separate Jesus from the Father.
True, that's why I say that he is in the Father, and therefore that's where he wants us to
be. Yes. When we worship the Father, we worship Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, nobody take up the... Don't be afraid to ask me any questions. I'm not... I can't be embarrassed because, you know, I don't feel that I am doing it. I feel that if you ask me, that the Lord will give me the answer, and if he doesn't, then I'll say I don't get it.
You feel the word of God that you speak.
Well, I personally believe that the scripture isn't limited, but that most things that are written in the scripture is written in a way that the carnal mind cannot understand it. You know?
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they that testify on me, but you wouldn't come unto me that you might have life.
Yeah.
So I often think that the scriptures were taken in their literal sense.
Oh no.
Kill.
It's dead. That's what Jesus was trying to say. He said the eternal life is standing right before you. You see, the scripture, he said the word, the letter killeth, but the spirit makes alive. So we know that the letter is a killer. If you take this thing in the natural, you're a dead man.
So you think of it in the book of directions too, the fulfillment or the identity of Christ for God is speaking through his incarnation of Christ in us.
Yes, you see, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, but the revelation is not to us, it's in us. See, the more experience you have, for instance, you're going to tell a man what salvation is. And you could tell him from now till tomorrow, he wouldn't know what salvation is unless he experienced it. So the revelation is within us, it's not to our ears.
Do you feel that these people who go to hell, as it were, are you telling them?
I can give you a story of what happened to me, and then you judge it. I had a friend who we were studying the Bible together, and he came up with the message of ultimate reconciliation. He said that everybody is going to be saved, even the devil is going to be saved, that the fires of hell will burn for a time and burn until it purifies them and saves them. Now, I then became confused, because he began to show a lot of scriptures. He showed the aeonian word there, aeons, and the aeons meant for a time. But there are some parts of the word aeon that does not mean for a time, like aeonian salvation. That's not for a time. Aeonian God, that's not for a time. God is not a temporary God. So because of this confusion, I went to God, because I know my way to God. And I never preach a doctrine or come to a conclusion until I hear definitely from God. If it takes me 30 years, I'm going to wait to preach that until I get it from God. So while I was praying to God for my friend and asking God, but God, after all, eternal hell is not consistent with your nature. If you are a good God, and you, how could you send these creatures to hell eternally, like a vendetta that never ends? And God, all of a sudden I was in a vision. I was on my knees. I didn't know I was in a vision. I saw the door begin to open, and instinctively I knew that a spirit was coming through the door. And he came right into the room, and he was tall and powerful, a man of great authority, like a man who is used to commanding, and he stepped into the room with great confidence. As he came towards me, I said to him, "Howdy," and he said, "Hi." I said, "Do you know heaven?" And he said, "That's a stupid question." He said, "You know who I am, and I know who you are, so why don't you just come straight to the point. I said, "Okay, I didn't know you knew all that." So I said, "Okay." I said, "You were in heaven." All of a sudden, a faith came into me. And I said, "You were in heaven, and you know what heaven is, and you know what hell is." I said, "God told me that if I ask him anything in the name of Jesus, he will do it. And I feel like right now I could ask God to put you back into heaven, and although it's not in the Bible, God would have to put you back into heaven, because he told me that whatever I ask, he'll do it." And I said, "Now there's a way open for you to go back to heaven." I said, "All I need is for you to say yes. I want you to pray for me." And the man's countenance changed, and he got so mad, he stomped his foot on the floor, and he said, "That so-and-so is God he's talking about." And he cursed God like a tramp. And after he cursed God, he said, "If he forgive me for everything that I do him." I pinched my side. I said, "Oh, so you know that you're doing him something." If he forgive me for everything that I do him, and he would put me back into heaven this moment, he said, "I would only go back there to destroy it." Destroy it. It was not God. It was the spirit that refused to submit. Oh, yes. And immediately I understood where the doctrine of the reconciliation of all things went wrong. You see, we are blaming God. God is open arms. God will take any of his creatures who will come back to him and be delivered. But there is something else that I learned. I went to God and I said, but I cannot understand if Hillel, the angel that became Satan, was an archangel like Michael. You know, Hillel, the L at the end means God. And the Hili means light. So God's light, that's what it means. And Michael means like God, like El, like God. And Gabriel means messenger of God. So every one of those angels in that realm of power had an L, their names end in L. So I said, God, how could you, I cannot understand an angel who knew nothing but righteousness and glory and power and life could fall from that position. There is really no falling. How could he fall from righteousness to something that was unproven? And God began to tell me something about the nature of Satan. He didn't fall. He deliberately fought God absolutely over many eons of time to become a king of evil. He wanted to be absolutely opposite to God. There was no evil. God didn't make it. It was created when God made good. What am I talking about? If I put these lights out, hallelujah, the result will be darkness. If I put a wall in this room, I make a wall, but I create two rooms. So there are some things that we did not make, but we create. Now if you check the Bible, it says, I, the Lord, I made good and created evil. If you make good, automatically there's an opposite. He said, I made light, and what? Created darkness. So I began to understand that God says in God there are things that humans cannot understand. But Satan did not fall. He deliberately fought God. Stepped out. I said, God, show me it in the Bible. And do you know God showed me just clear as day where he deliberately, he said he destroyed all his sanctuaries. God made certain checks and balance in heaven that no angel could fall. And he destroyed all his sanctuaries and deliberately stepped out to become king over evil. So I cannot help, brother, but believe that the angels will only burn in hell eternally because, first of all, they changed their natures. They are no longer the angels that left heaven. They are a different creature. This creature does not like light, he likes darkness. So God said to me that hell is the extreme mercy of God. Hell is the extreme mercy of God. In other words, these angels would die, they would perish if God should pull them into his light. They couldn't stand it. They are creatures of darkness. Now God therefore prepare a darkness for them and separate himself from them. But you know what happened? They are going to be separated from their source of food because devils feed upon human beings. There's a scripture for that too. Devils feed upon human beings, and human beings get their energy from God, and all our world has been stripped of energy. This is why people take sick. This is why the problems in the hospitals, this is death and everything. Energy, we lose the energy of God. It's all taken away by Satan. When we cast the devil out, there's going to be a surge of energy and life. That even the plants, the birds, the trees, everything is going to change. We're going to see just an overnight change take over the whole world. So this is the position that I must hold to this point according to the revelation I have received. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. God bless you, brethren.